Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Excuse me, Bava Basra Kutlamed Hey. We are holding right on top. Hahud Habach Koch Shachiv. So this fellow was passing away. Amr Lei, Itta Seleman. So the people had asked him, who's your wife going to? Meaning, is she going to be a Yevama? Because he had no kids. The Rashbam says, we knew that he had brothers, but no children. So she was bound for Yivam. And that's the question that they asked of him. Is your wife going to be having Yivam, or perhaps she's for some reason exempt? Itta Seleman, who's your wife going to? Amar Lucy responded, Chazil Kahana Rabba, she's suitable to marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay? A little bit of an exaggerated expression, because obviously she can't marry a Kohen Gadol, because at the very least, she's a widow. Almana cannot marry a Kohen Gadol. But this was just a way of expressing the fact that she's free to marry anybody, basically. She doesn't have to have Yivam. And basically what he was implying was that she had been divorced already. He already issued her a divorce. He didn't say it outright, but that's what he implied. Amar Rabba, so Rabba responds, and he says, okay, great, green light. My nechushlo, what would be our concern with reference to this woman? Why should we bind her? Why should we keep her from marrying out? Ha Amar Avchia, Bar Abba, Amar B'Yechnan, right, we had this yesterday. Baal she'amar girashtis ishti nemna. The husband gets up and tells us about the fact that he divorced his wife. We believe it. And the reason was because he has that migul. He has that ability to achieve the same goal by other means. He can simply go ahead and write her a get right now. So he has that nemonis. And that's what he meant to say. When he said she can marry out, she can marry anybody, he meant to say, I was already megarish her. Amalei Abaye responded to him, but if you recall, we had that other version, we had the conflicting versions within Rabbi Yechanan. Because remember, there was that svara where we argued that there's no koil. Why wasn't it public? A divorce should be known to all. So that sort of put sort of a question mark on his story. And challenges his account of having divorced his wife. Amar Abaye, V'alki Asar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan himself, that we cannot accept it as fact. Baal she'amar girashtis ishti, the husband claimed to have divorced his wife, ain't a nem, we don't accept it. So how can you go with it? How can you be mad to her without Yivam? Amar Lehi responded, well, we already went through this yesterday. V'lav mishaninu. We have already responded and resolved this apparent contradiction. It depends pertaining to what? Kan l'mafreya v'kan l'haba. Sure, he can't get up today and say, I divorced her a month ago. Why? Because today he has no ability to divorce her a month ago. But if he's claiming that she's been divorced now, or right? So then that's l'haba going forward for that. We believe him because he can do that right now. He can make an instant divorce. The same with our story. He's now meant to say she's divorced, pertaining to going forward, and therefore she's no longer a Yivama. Asks the Gemara, really? We're so confident that in fact that resolution is true, that teretz is true? Meaning perhaps there are differing views and versions in Rabbi Yechanan in terms of what Rabbi Yechanan said, and according to one version, she's not believed. Because where's the koil? Why wasn't it public? So basically, how could you just, you know, rely on this point, go with that one version of Rabbi Yechanan, perhaps the other version is correct. Amalei Rava, so Rava responded, L'Rav Nosson Bar Ami Chushla. Yeah? It's a good point. We have to be chayshish like Abaye. We have to be concerned that perhaps our solution is not really a proper resolution to this question, and therefore we have to be chayshish that there is an opinion that will hold that a husband is not nemo to get up and claim girashtis ishti in the absence of any koil to back it up. And therefore, in this case, he's not believed that you have to do chalitza because she may be a yevama, because she was never divorced. Here comes another story with a similar conclusion. So it was known that this person has no brothers. That was the chazok. And likewise, he confirmed that. In advance of his passing, I have no brothers. In which case, wife is not going to be a yevama. Amar Rav Yosef, great. My lechoshlo. What is the concern? No concern whatsoever. Number one, chado, number one, demuchsak lund les leachim. The presumed assumption is that there are no brothers. Va'id, in addition, he is confirming that. Ha'amar b'shas misad les le. He's also confirming as such, I have no brothers. Amali Abayis, Abayi responds. But what do you mean? Ha'amri de'ika edim b'mdina sayam. There's some rumor going around that there are witnesses overseas, the Yadi Disleyachi, that are purportedly going to testify that they have information that he has brothers. So the Edom are not here, but we heard about the existence of these alleged witnesses who have that information. How can we just ignore that? Answers the Gemara, yeah, you could ignore it, because we know there's a principle called Ein Lo Ledayon. A judge can only go by what his eyes see at the current moment. Are they here or no? So you don't have to reckon with them. Hashtamias, halesnu, come on. At the current moment, right now, they're not here in front of us. And that's comparable to the story that took place with Rabbi Chanina, who likewise discounted anything which was not part of the current equation. Lav hainu Rabbi Chanina. This was a story regarding a shavuya. The daughters of Shmuel were taken captive, and the halacha is that if a woman comes and says, you know what, I was kidnapped, but I'm still okay, I'm pure regarding, I was uninvolved with the guy, I'm okay. So we apply the rule called hapesha asar, hapesha hitter, the same mouth which introduced the concern, turned around and solved the problem. Sort of in the same breath. Yeah, I was kidnapped, but we accept the whole story as one, and she's okay. But what happened was, there was a rumor that there were Edim somewhere out there that were aware of the fact that they were kidnapped. So now, we no longer need their personal testimony as per the kidnapping. So that sort of disrupts the Pesha Hasar. Pesha Hasar is based on the fact that you incriminate yourself, you can absolve yourself as well. But if we somehow got wind of the information elsewhere from an external source that you were kidnapped, then we no longer can apply Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. Then we have to be concerned that perhaps you were affected by the guy, etc. So Rabbi Chanina ignored the possible existence of the Edim that were aware of their kidnapping. You know why? Dam Rabbi Chanina, Edim Bitzad Isatan, just because there may be some Edim, Isatan is the northern side of the world, basically far away, right? But the Asr, that makes her Asr? Are they here? No. Are they testifying? No. Forget about it. So, since these women are the source of their information, the sole source are these women, so we can believe them when they say, we are still a Tahir. I'm only Abayis. Abayi responded, how can you compare that concept to our halacha of a married woman whose husband is claiming there are no brothers and she's not going to be bound to Yibam? In Mekalna B'Shvuya, just because we apply a leniency regarding a kidnapped woman, and the brackets add the words, Mishum de Benavla Nafshal Gabi Shavoy, because she makes herself undesirable to the kidnapper. So there are all kinds of leniencies involved over there. Nakal B'Shas Ish. Why would we apply the same thing by an Ishas Ish? Who until now had a chazaka that she was married? You can't just absolve her. I can't just consider her, off the hook regarding Yibam when her husband passes away. We have to assume that, things just remain the way they were. Amale Rav le Rav Asim Bar Ami. So in fact, Rav responded to Rav Asim Bar Ami. Likewise, Luchushlo, you have to be Cheshish. We have to be concerned about this argument of Abaye. And in fact, You can't just assume that she's free to marry. She has to do at least, chalitza. So back to the Mishnah. We have a fellow who's claiming that this, guest over here is a long lost brother, part of our family. The Mishnah says, since they don't agree, the brothers are not, on the same page as him, so he has to take care of the brother. Meaning, if the father passes away and each brother gets a share of the Yerusha, he has to share his own Yerusha and give a part to his brother. If the brother passes away, then that share comes back to him. Let's say this brother acquires other assets and he dies. That is distributed amongst all the brothers. Now the Gemara will analyze how all this works. V'idach Maika Amri. First of all, what are the other brothers claiming? How are they responding when he identifies him as brother? Yika Amri Yachanuhu. If they're in full agreement that he's our brother, Amai Yitolim Abichalke. So why is that fellow only taking, part of this brother's, the identifier's brother's portion? V'sulay, why only that? Everybody should contribute to his chelek, because there's a consensus as to his identity as part of the family. Ela de ka'amri lav achinu. Apparently they're denying his identity. No, he's not our brother. That explains why only this identifier has to share his part, because he's the one claiming, but not them. Ema seifa. Let's move on to the next halacha in the Mishnah and see how it works. Nafla nechasim makim acher. So if this newfound fellow buys stuff, gets stuff from elsewhere, and he passes away, Yirshu echav imay. All brothers now have a right to access it. What do you mean? I thought you vehemently denied his identity. I thought he wasn't your brother. Why are you coming to claim his ass? They've already told him that he's not a brother. Oh, must be that they're not sure. They're on the fence. They're uncertain. Yeah, he's a long lost brother? Well, I don't know. Yes, I don't know. No. And therefore, he can't demand an equal share from their father's assets. Rather, only this brother who's identifying this fellow definitively, he has to share, but not the other brothers. At the same time, when that brother passes away, so the part that this brother gave him goes back to him. Right? Only makes sense. But if he acquired other assets, that can be distributed amongst everybody else. Because they never denied his identity, they weren't sure. Okay, but you agree that he's our brother, share it with us. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeis Ameris. Interestingly, we can derive from this Mishnah an interesting halacha. There's a famous shaila. Let's say there's a bari against a shema. You owe me $1 million, and you're not sure. So I'm certain, and you're not. I'm presenting a definite claim. You owe me money, and you're uncertain. It's a machlekes. Do we say bari is stronger? The one who has a definitive claim, a vade claim, prevails, or do we say no? Unless you can prove your claim, just because he doesn't know doesn't mean he owes it to you, right? So that's a famous shaila. Perhaps we can derive that halacha from our Mishnah, because it's a very similar case. Reuven is claiming that this newfound brother is, in fact, a brother. And Shimon and Levi are saying, well, we don't know. What does the Mishnah say? They don't have to share their portion with him. Amar Rav Zeis Ameris, we can learn from here, Mana li biyadcha. Suppose Reuben approaches Shimon. Look, I have money by you. You owe me money. Wallah Imer, and Shimon responds, I'm not sure any idea. Potter. He's exempt. As per Halacha and Mishnah. Is that true? Omar, Abaya Omar, no. You can't compare the two cases. Lo'ilom em lochay. Perhaps, typically, if you have a vada, a claim, and the other fellow doesn't know, perhaps he's responsible. He's obligated. But here it's different. You know why? Because this alleged newfound brother is not really sure about himself. Reuven, basically what happened was that a fellow showed up and Reuven says, you're our brother. And this fellow, let's call him Shimon, is not even sure. And the other brothers are also not sure. So it's a suffix against a suffix. What's comparable to this case? A case where Reuven approaches Shimon. He says, you owe somebody else money. Mana l'acher biyadcha. Levi has money by you. Right? So Shimon can say, look, I don't want to deal with you. Lav ba'al dvaram didiyat. You're not my litigant. Right? Let Levi come and present his claim. Well, it's none of your business. Same thing over here. Since this newfound brother is not sure who he is and what he is, Reuben is claiming as such, but Shimon himself doesn't know. So the other brothers, Levi, Yehuda, can say, look, Mr. Reuben, get out of the equation. It's not your business. It's not you against us, it's him against us, and he's not even sure. So in this case, of course, they're exempt. Now, if Reuben had to share part of his inheritance with Shimon, but then Shimon died, it goes back to Reuben, not to the other brothers, because it was Reuben's part that was shared with Shimon. But Rava, now Rava has a shaila. What if the property rose in value and improved while in Shimon's hands? Does it all go back to Reuben? There's more there than what Reuben gave. Is he entitled to get it all back? Or perhaps that extra is now distributed amongst the other siblings who are Yerush, this alleged brother. What about Shvach, improvements that occurred on these assets? Naturally. What happens to that? Now, Beshvachag, Magil Ksafayim, improvement that was resulting from Shimon's work, Shimon's effort. You have, you know, crop that he worked on and, you know, developed. There's no question in this case. This is comparable to assets that he acquired externally. It was never really part of the initial property that he received from Reuben. It's something that he got later, so to speak. And of course, that goes to all the brothers equally. The question will only apply b'shvach she'ina megil k'safayim. Slight improvements, which were sort of naturally occurring improvements. Kigoyin, dikla va'olam, a palm tree that got wider, thicker, aravaskar sirtan, you know, the farmland which got more full, you know, accumulated some extra soil. These are sort of naturally occurring developments. Natural improvements. My, what is the status of those improvements? It goes back to Reuven, or perhaps all the brothers can claim it equally, because they're Yerushim. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Okay, so in summation, can a husband get up and declare his wife divorced? Well, we had a Shaila, and we have to be Cheshish L'chumra, claiming that there are no brothers around, in which case his wife will not have Yivam, and we know there is some rumor about Edom knowing about the brothers, then we have to be Cheshish again, and we have to go to Chumra. A brother who claims that this newcomer is in fact their brother, and the other siblings are not sure, so he's obligated to share his portion with him, to share in the father's Yerusha, which he gets back upon this fellow's death, but externally acquired stuff that this fellow got, or even perhaps, significant improvements which this fellow himself developed, perhaps that, as well, will be distributed back to the family, who we're not sure to begin with. And in fact, he's our brother, so we're entitled. Says the Mishnah, Misha meis, v'nimtzeis diyaitiki tshkishura al yirechai. So typically, if one wants a gift to be given during his lifetime, he must ensure that it was given during his lifetime, because once he passes away, he can no longer grant any gifts. There's an exception to this rule. That's called a matnas shchivmera. When one is chas v'shalom, deathly ill, Chachamim wanted to keep him calm, prevent him from becoming anxious that his his wishes are not being fulfilled, and right. So we give him sort of a blank check. We empower him to give matanis simply, merely by the word of his mouth. It's called divrei shechivmera, the words of a shechivmera. Kiksuvim ukimesurin dami. It's as though it was documented and formally drafted into a shtar, and it is an effective gift. So even though it's technically taking place, you know, after he passes away, but it works. But that is provided he did it verbally. But if he formulated it into a document, then we treat it like a regular document, like a regular gift letter, shtar matana, which can only be transferred and executed during his lifetime. For afterwards, it would be too late. So we have a shchivmera, right, who apparently formulated a shtar. So we have this fellow who passed away, and we find a shtar tied onto his leg. Misha meis v'nimtzeis diyatiki. Diyatiki is a gift letter, which a shchivmera will write. It stands for Dot Tehei LeMekam V'Koi, as Digmar explains. So this process should actually stand, should be valid, right? So that's the name given to a shtar, matana, that a shchiv merah will issue, and it was found kshur al yirechei, tied on his thigh. So we know it was his. Does it work? No. Because, as we explained, a shtar matana only gets activated after his passing, because that's what it says. You know, I'm giving it to you after my death, and at that point it's too late to give it as a matana. Harizu en eklum. It doesn't work. However, there's a way to make it work. Zika ba la'achar. If he was mezaka de shtar to his recipient by way of a medium, by way of a messenger, a shaliach, who picked up the shtar for that recipient, and he did it while he was still alive, then it works. Then it works. Because the gift was triggered instantly, it was done mechayim, and therefore it works. Bein min ayershin, whether the recipient is really a potential yoyrish, like a son or whatever. Bein she'enim na yershin, whether he's not, just a stranger, right? It works. Dvarav kayom. So in this case it works. And the Rashbam explains, because no different than even if the shtar didn't have that person's name written, it doesn't matter, because it's no worse than verbalizing his wishes, verbalizing his matna shchivmra, and the Chachamim gave it, you know, they empowered him to carry out this kinyan. Tana Rabbanan, Eza hi diatiki. What exactly is this? What does it say in the diatiki? Kol shekasa ba. It contains the following phrase, or the following, you know, message. Da tehe lemekim b'liyoy. So this process, this matana, should actually be carried out. Ve'eza hi matana. Now, what is a standard gift letter, not a matana shchimura? Kol shekasa ba. It contains the following phrase. Mayem la'achar misa. So he wrote the shtar and then he passed away. Right? The only way for the matana to work is if it says mehayoyim, which means that the actual property is transferred to you today. So the matana was executed immediately. Right? It was an instant activation of the matana with respect to the actual principle of property. But the actual access will only take place after my death. So that works. Because the matana technically took place mechayim. So that's a standard matana. But a diatiki, which is a matana v'shchimura, doesn't need the word mechayim. It's unnecessary. Because the chachamim treated it as a valid gift, as we explained before, and the fact that he passed away does not get in the way of the matana. Asks the Gemara, do you mean every gift letter, a standard matana, has to say Mehayom Lachar Misa? Why can't you just give it to him today? Why does it have to be a process that begins today and concludes tomorrow? Ela Mehayom Lachar Misa, hu dahav yimatana, only that is a matana ma'achshav. What if he says, look, it's yours now. Well, I have a matana, it doesn't work? Of course it does. Amar Abaye HaKamar. The Braisa meant sort of just to find a parallel, to point out that there's a parallel situation comparable to the Matna Shchimra, which actually only gets concluded after his passing. Eizehi HaKamar, Eizehi Matna Zbori, Shehik Matna Shchimra, Loikone Lachar Misa. Let's have an example of a standard gift letter given by a Bari, you know, a healthy man, which runs parallel to a matna shchimra, meaning that it only gets concluded after his passing. The only way for that to work, by a shchimra it works, that's standard procedure, but by a bari, how does it work? You have to make sure, kol shekasa ba mayom lachar misa. You have to say clearly, it's starting today, but only concludes later, in which case it works, because the matana technically took place today, he got the actual property, even though access is only granted after death. Yosef Rabba Barav Huna Bachsadid was here sitting in this canopied area, the Bei Rav. Okay, sort of some pergola situation. He was sitting there in Rav's place. Yosef Ka'amar Mishmet Rav Yechon. He was quoting Rav Yechon as follows. What did Rav Yechon say? Shchimra She'amar Kisvut Numana L'Ploin Yomeis. So again, if Shchimra gets up and says, give this to that person, it works. We carry it out. No questions asked. But if he says, you know what? Kisvutnu, manalaplani. I want you to draft a document and give it to him. Oh, that complicates matters. Because then if he dies, umeis, ain't kisvutnu, you can't carry it out. You know why? Because since he spoke about a document, and a document sounds to us like a standard gift letter. Because a shchiv merah doesn't require a document. Verbal is enough. Apparently he crossed over to the conventional gift-giving system. Shema loy gomar lahaknois el bishtar, perhaps his intention was to utilize the ishtar system for the gift-giving. Ve'en shtar lachamisa. But that gets him into trouble because a document cannot be activated after his passing. He asked that a shtar be drafted, and that was only, you know, handed over after his death. Right? Because he passed away before they actually gave the person the shtar, it doesn't work. Amrulu Rabbi Lazar. So Lazar responded, "Is daruba. Watch out, this is a true halacha. Yep, that's the halacha." So sometimes by adding stuff, you make it worse. You don't have to add that. Just say, give it to him. That's enough. By referencing a ksiva, a shtar, he complicated matters. Rav Shezvi Amar Rav Elazar Amra. So Rav Shezvi had a different version of the story. According to him, Rav Elazar was the one who declared the halacha. V'amul Rabbi Yechanan is dar Rabban. Rabbi Yechanan responded with a confirmation. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, actually, I think the second version is correct. I'm going to go with Rav Shezvi's version, that Rav Elazar was the one who taught the halacha, and Rabbi Yechanan confirmed it. Yamas b'shlam Rabbi Elazar Amar, because it makes more sense. Rabbi Elazar says it, and he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. It's Rabbi Yechanan, studio late. Rabbi Elazar, it makes sense that Rabbi Yechanan came up and actually testified accordingly, meaning he confirmed Rabbi Elazar his Talmud halacha. But the other way is a bit difficult to reconcile. Why would a Talmud confirm his Rebbe's halacha? Eli Amar Rabbi Yechanan Amar, if it's Rabbi Yechanan saying it, it's Rabbi Elazar, studio late Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi. Why would Rabbi Elazar have to come be masudei, come testify and back up Rabbi Yechanan's halacha? That's one reason to prefer this version. But another reason is because Tashma, listen to the writer, Rabbi Elazar Amra, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Elazar said it, the Shalach Rabin, Mishmei Rav Avo, Rabin sent the halacha, the name of Rabbi Avo, Hebu Yoidim, I want you to know, Shalach Rabbi Elazar, the Goyla, Mishmei Rabbeinu, Rabbi Elazar, oh, he was the one who sent the halacha to Goyla, to Bavel, the name of Rabbeinu, who's Rabbeinu Rav, as follows. Exactly this halach. Shchiv mara, a fellow who's on his deathbed. She'omar, who says, Kisvu tenu. Here we go again. Tenu manal pleni umeis, ain't kaisim noisin, you can't carry it out. Shema loy gomar la knois elu b'shtar, because it's concerned that he intended on using a shtar system to make it work, and that's too late. Ve'in shtar lachamisa, regular shtar cannot work after he passed away. That's Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yechanan amar tibadik. Rabbi Yechanan says, you know what? Examine it. What does this mean? My tibbutik, what do you mean? Sounds like it's pending further examination, meaning sometimes it's going to work, sometimes not. In some cases, we're concerned that it was a confusing factor, undoing the power of the shchivra. In another case, we give it the green light. What does that mean? Kiyasar of Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained. First of all, he says, one halacha, which is not really related to our sugya, you should know that a diyataki, a matana v'shchimra, given after a previous matana, so a duplicate matana on the same, you know, item, mivah telas diyataki, undoes the previous matana, that's one halacha. And the second one pertains to us. Shchimra sh'amar kisvut numan l'upan yigameis. Shchimra gets up and says, give this to that person, and he mentions ksiva as well. We take a closer look at what he meant. Right. If his real intention was to use a matna shchimra system, which does not require a ishtar, but he was merely trying to strengthen the recipient's documentation, to give him that added power. You know what? Let him also have a shtar to prove that it's his. So then it's okay, because it's just another element above and beyond. He's not trying to disrupt the Shchimra system. So we give it to that person and we give him the document as well to prove that it's his. It's just a raya. Just testimony to the fact that he received the gift. It's not part of the actual transfer process. Vimlav, but otherwise, we have no reason to believe that it was just being miyapi as kaicha. Then we are concerned that perhaps the ksiva was part and parcel of the actual transfer process, part of the actual acquisition in kaisman. You can't do it after his passing. It's too late for the benefactor to give it at this point. He passed away. Moshe Rav Abba Ramamal, he had a kash. Borisha Amar Kisvut Nuan L'Plenu Meis. If a healthy person says, you know what, write away this, write up a document and give a mana to this person, Umeis, and he passed away before they had a chance to do this, Ein Kaisvin V'Naisin, we can no longer do it, because he's passed, he's gone. Ha Shechiv Mera Kaisvin V'Naisin. This infers, this implies to us that a Shechiv Mera can proceed in this fashion. So this is a kasha on the Rabbi Lezer, who says that it's problematic. We can't proceed. Reiser clearly says it's good. Hu moisiv lo, hu mefarek lo. So he himself, Rabbi Abba Ramamal, asked this question. He offered an answer. As we said before, it depends what he has in mind with this document. Is it just an enhancement, just a raya as to what took place, or is it a means of transferring the item? If it's just to enhance, to strengthen the legal standing of the recipient to prove his case, then it's okay, because that can happen even later. Now, how would we know? I mean, we can't go into the benefactor's mind. How do we know what the shechivra had in mind to use the document as part of the process, as part of the kinyan, or just as a right? How do we know? Well, we could know by analyzing his words, by closely looking at his words. Kadamar of Chizda, v'kanina minei moisif amatantado. If in the shtar we find the following phrase, you know, the edim are sort of writing the shtar, v'kanina minei, we made a kinyan on behalf of the recipient, moisif amatantado. In addition to the basic gift, which basically means to say that the shtar was, yeah, it was really a kinyan, but it was on top, in addition, al matan to the standard matana that was given through the shechiv mera's own verbal, you know, powers. The words, the divra shechiv mera, accomplished the kinyan. The shtar is just an addition. So that's Rav Chisda over there. Later on, we'll see Be'ez Hashem exactly what he's talking about. Hachinami, but what pertains to us is, we'll apply the same concept to us. We're speaking that just like over there, what it says in the shtar, that the kinyan is on top of the matana, here as well, in a similar fashion, well, the shechiv mera instructed as follows. He says, the Omar, he said, Av k'soyvi v'chasoymu. I want that person to get it. Plus, af. Af means plus. K'soyvi v'chasoymu. I want you to draft, write up, and sign a document, v'havalei, and give him the shtar, so that he has a raya to prove that he's the owner. That's called miyapes kaychai. So it doesn't interfere, because it's an added element. But the actual transfer took place through the kaych of a shechiv mera, which works regardless. V'chein Amar Rava. Rava likewise explained Amar Nachman, halacha kaysim v'noisim, that in fact, in this type of case, we allow ourselves to provide documentation to the recipient because it's just a raya, just proving what happened. And what did happen? The fellow got his asset through the kayach of a shechiv mera, which the Chachamim gave full power to, even though he passed away. We say, k'ksuvim, k'ksuvim, dummies, paid a complaint, it's done. Without any need for further reinforcements. Okay, so in this last piece, the Mishnah and the Gemara, we learned about a person giving a matana, a standard matana, must take place during the lifetime of the benefactor. The only way that we could sort of allow ourselves for it to happen later is if you write Mehayom Lachar Misa, which basically means the principle is yours from today, but the access, the payers, the usage only happens later. And that works because technically it was transferred during his lifetime. A Shchiv Mara could just issue any instruction to give something, and we carry it out. However, if there was a Shtar involved, that's tricky. That poses a concern that he was going to utilize the power of Shtar. So now, if he was Mezaka the Shtar during his lifetime, you're good. But otherwise, we can't carry it out. The Shtar, Lachamisa, doesn't work. Unless we ascertain that the Shtar was just a Shtar Raya, reinforcing the standard Shchiv Mara method of Matana, in which case it works. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.